Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio Water System says its current drought restriction plan, their rules, aren't doing the job to save water, and they're proposing changes that they say will close a loophole, also tighten the tap on some of the biggest water users in town. But the changes could make it easier for their water waster patrol to issue fines for people who are spilling too much water. So what's going on? What's the plan? If you've got any questions or comments, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're joined by Karen Guz, Vice President of Conservation at the San Antonio Water System. And Karen, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks, David.
So tell me about this plan, these proposed rule changes. They will be going to City Council to be ultimately approved, but what are you putting before the Council?
Well, I think the context that I'd like people to hear as we talk about this is that we're in an extraordinary drought. This is actually the worst drought that SAWS has had to weather since SAWS was created over two decades ago. And so it's not surprising that the last couple years of the conditions we've experienced have tested our drought plan, and we have found that we are not saving as much water as we used to. Some good news, most people are following the rules, and our goal is to make some changes that make things more effective without impacting the 90% of people in San Antonio who are already watering once a week and not using a lot of water.
So yesterday on The Source, we talked about how Mexico City could be running out of water by the end of June. That was an eye-opener. I've been reading about how in the city of Laredo, their water plan says they're going to run out of water by 2040. All the communities around Texas are looking at really horrible water situations, and they're and that's if things stay the same. I mean, if the drought conditions get worse, it's just going to be really, really, water scarcity is going to be an issue. And I know we don't want to talk about water scarcity in a way that is scary, but I guess we do have to talk about it in a way that we just have to make sure that we realize that water is important.
Well, I'm glad you brought up those two examples about Mexico City and Laredo, because our situation is very different here in San Antonio. We have diversified our water supplies, and I know some people are listening thinking, well, if we diversified our water supplies, why is there an issue? Well, there's an issue because the drought is so severe that we're getting a pretty big cut to the Edwards water, which is still 60% of the water we use for our community. Here's the good news. We don't need to make a huge cut in our water use in order to get through these droughts. We're just looking to make a 10% overall reduction. The reason we can manage that and only reduce our outdoor water use that we put on our lawns is because we've diversified our supplies. So we're in a good position, but we still need to be effective at making that 10% reduction to get through these long and pretty severe droughts. If we can do that, that's it. We do not have a shortage we're facing inside our homes, for running our businesses, or even welcoming new San Antonians. We're really talking about moderating our lawn watering.
So what are the rules that you want changed that will be make people pay attention to this lawn watering?
So there are five things, and all of these five things are aimed at getting better savings from about 10% of SAWS customers, and specifically savings on lawn watering. So the first change is that right now, people don't necessarily know this, but SAWS serves quite a few customers who live in either a separate suburban city or outside the extraterritorial jurisdiction. Okay, so why does that matter? Currently, the consequence, if you don't follow the rules, you water on the wrong day or time, is getting a City of San Antonio citation. And you can't get one of those if you live in a suburban city or outside the ETJ. So we need to change that because we need everybody to participate. So we are looking at, people are hearing, well, I don't get it. There's going to be a fine on the bill. Yes, to have it be equal to everyone, we go away from the criminal citation process and move to an administrative process where SAWS would notify you just like we would today. We'd have clear evidence, a date, time stamp, photo if we think there was a violation. You still get to dispute it with people who don't work at SAWS if you think we're wrong. But ultimately, we need all SAWS customers to be on the same rules and the same consequences. So that's one of the key changes.
Okay.
And then a second change is that currently the way the citations have worked, it's $137 at court if you violate the rules. And that is oddly the same whether it's your first or your 20th violation. And it's always $137 no matter how big a landscape water user you are, even a big campus at a corporation that might pay thousands for their landscape irrigation water, still $137. And frankly, that's not working for either big properties or some, the few people who repeat violate. So one of the changes is that the first charge would still be $137, second would be $225, and third $500. So we're trying to make it clear, you know, if you violate again, it's going to be more expensive. The other big change is because this would be a SAWS process on that first violation. If you've never done it before as a homeowner, we can waive it if you take an online class. So we think we have a charge structure that is logical. If people repeat violate, it should cost more. And then it also costs more for the few really big properties that use huge amounts of landscape irrigation water. They're going to start at $500 for their first violation charge. So that's the second change, is that instead of it being this not effective one size fits all on the charges, it would reflect either repeat violations or if you're one of those few big commercial properties that just uses a lot of water on your landscape.
Let me ask you, how often do you think a fine like that, just the basic one, the 137, how frequently do you think those will be applied?
Well, this last summer was really tough, and we've never had to enforce as hard as we did last summer. There were a little over 9,000 citations issued last year, but a lot of them were to repeat properties or companies that repeated again and again. So what we're hoping is that even in a bad drought, once this changes, we will have fewer violations because it'll make sense. It'll be more of a deterrent to really big customers or those that would repeat. But and for perspective, we serve over 2 million people and over 600,000 accounts in San Antonio. So when I say over 9,000 citations, it's still a small number of San Antonians who are violating.
And what are some other rule changes they are recommending?
So we have a stage 3 on the books today, and this is for pretty severe droughts. We're in one now, as I mentioned. We're in EAA stage 3 today. And right now that rule, if the city and SAWS were to say we need stage 3, would impose on everybody, you'd be limited to watering your yard no more than twice a month. And it's pretty hard to do. I mean, the plants will live through it, but it's rough. So we have a new proposal, and we'd like to push off that twice a month watering to an emergency stage 4, and instead focus stage 3 on saying, you know, we have a lot of water going to the top users. So let's have a surcharge on very high landscape irrigation use, commercial and residential. Let people know you're using a lot, and if you don't cut back, it will cost you more on your next bill. So 95% of customers would not be impacted by the new stage 3 instead of everybody being impacted.
So you're going to tell people you're using, hey, Dave, you're using a lot of water, and you need to cut back, and I will adjust, and then therefore, and you save water, and I don't get fined. Is that it?
You don't get a surcharge, right? So to be clear, this is money SAWS doesn't want. This is it. We're hoping this is a deterrent. So if you were one of those folks, we would say, hey, David, you used more than 95% of your customers just recently. Here's some tips to cut back. And if you want a consult by an expert on irrigation and landscape, we'll send someone to your house to help you. We'd really appreciate it if you could cut back.
But if I have a leaky thing I'm not dealing with, then I would address that.
Yeah, it's usually when people are using, it's the threshold on single family is 20,000 gallons a month. And usually 20,000 gallons a month is reflecting a lot of outdoor water usage. That's indoor is more like under 5,000 gallons a month. And for perspective, last summer, the average house in San Antonio used only under 8,000 gallons a month. So 20,000 gallons is a lot, and it's usually water being applied outside.
Can't you just drive by? I mean, you see brown, 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 green, brown, brown. You know the green lawn, they're watering.
Well, they are, but I don't know how they're watering. So there are some people who are devoted hand waterers. You know, usually it means they're running a sprinkler system a lot. They're using 20,000 gallons a month. But there are a few people. The rules do let you hand water, and usually that's self-limiting because standing out there holding the hose is hot and boring. But there are people, a few out there, who just use a lot at that. So we would be helping them hopefully cut back, but mainly it's reining in the automatic sprinklers is the main thing we're going to be looking to achieve with that revised stage three. And then there's another change. And
well, you know what?
Is...
I've got to hit this break, and then I want to get a caller on the air. Let me just get to this break. And Carolyn, you hang on. I'll get your question on the air as well. And our phone lines are open. If you got a question or comment about saving water in San Antonio, these new San Antonio water system rules that are being proposed that will be going before City Council, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. A really quick break, and we'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from La Fonda on Main, honoring the authentic cuisine of interior Mexico since 1932. Open for lunch, brunch, and dinner. More information at lafondaonmain.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies talking with San Antonio Water Systems Vice President for Conservation Karen Guz about new rules that are being proposed that will go to City Council that will help people conserve water. If you got a question or comment, give us a call, 833-TPR-TALK, and let's go to Carolyn, who has called in. And Carolyn, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm glad you're taking up these further enforcement for conservation rules. I do have something that I am quite concerned about, though. Huge water use. By crypto, for instance, and how that is actively being promoted by the city and other forces in the city, how DeSauce and this ordinance address that.
All right. Thank you so much for that call, Caroline. So industrial users, and she mentioned cryptocurrency, they have a lot of computers. They need cooling. I guess they use water. Karen Guz, is this something that will apply to industrial use?
So it's a great question because it's a good community conversation about what do we need to do in order to make it through droughts. And I think perspective people don't realize is that in winter months, we use maybe 200, 225 million gallons a day for everything, homes, families, businesses, industry, everything. When we get in the hot, dry summers and we're landscape irrigating, it goes up to over 300 million gallons a day. So we go up almost 100 million gallons a day when it gets hot and dry from landscape irrigation. So we as a community in the past have always said, let's not try to shut down businesses that we depend on for jobs. For example, HEB makes food here. They employ people. They're a big company here in San Antonio. We don't ask them to stop their production facilities. We just try to moderate our outdoor water use somewhat. So that's been our strategy so far. And so far that's worked for us. We haven't had to deter business during drought. I will say on data centers, we do have some data centers in San Antonio, and interestingly, they don't all do water-cooled. Some of them are going to air-cooled on theirs. I haven't heard about crypto being encouraged in San Antonio. That wouldn't be something I'd be an expert on, but I can tell you the good thing about all industrial use of all kinds is that it's predictable, so we can plan for it well.
All right, let's go to the caller, and this is Victor. And Victor, you're on the air.
Hey, everyone. Victor here. I've lived here in San Antonio for about 20 years. I'm calling from Southwest Research. Just wanted to add my two cents. The first one being, you know, those tiers that are being promoted. The third tier being the $500 fee. Is that going to be capped, right? I feel like it should go even further than that, right? I feel like some of these companies might still laugh at that $500 fee, right? That's my first thought. And I guess we'll start there, right?
Okay, if you got another one, tell me right now, because we don't have a lot of time. What's your other idea?
Well, that's
okay.
About it.
All right, Victor. So thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that. So is that the cap, $500, Karen?
For large properties, no. 500 is the starting point. If you're a property using 1 million gallons a year for landscape irrigation, then it starts at 500 for first violation, goes to 625, third goes to 1250. So, no, it goes up substantially for the very large campuses that do a lot of landscape irrigation.
And that's every month you would be able to you get popped with that?
Well, that's if you're violating. So, great question. If you're caught watering on the wrong time and the wrong day, those are the charges that you're facing, where it starts at 500 and can go up to over $1,000 for very large sites that use over 1 million gallons in the course of a year. So that's different from the surcharge in stage three, that these are one-time violations if you're not watering on your day or time.
What is this drip irrigation loophole?
Yeah, so drip irrigation is an interesting technology that's been around for a while, but it's changed recently. Drip used to be something we would see targeted at water saver plants, and we would promote running it one time a week to water them deeply. And so there was flexibility in the rules about it. And what has happened, because drip is unintentionally totally unregulated in drought today, or virtually unregulated, is that we're seeing massive drip systems that put out water as fast as spray that are running every day. You know, 3, 5, sometimes 7 days a week using huge amounts of water. So we're looking to put some reasonable restrictions on drip irrigation operation. We still recommend run it once a week, but allowing that in stage three, it can now run 3 times a week. In stage two and three, it could run 2 times a week. And if we go to stage four, we'd be limited to 1 time a week. This still is more flexible than spray irrigation, but hopefully it stops the unintentional incentive to put on these massive systems to use more water during drought.
People have pools and things that they, you know, does that take a lot of water? Could this impact them?
So I tell people who have pools that probably you're using less water topping off your pool in a month than you are using your irrigation system one time. A home irrigation system uses typically 2,000 gallons every time you operate it at a typical sized house. Whereas topping off a pool in a very hot, dry month might use 1,200 gallons a month. So, yeah, if you've got a pool and we're in stage three, you're going to watch your overall water budget through the month, and your pool does cause you to use more water. But the main thing to really pay attention to is that sprinkler system. That usually uses more than the pool.
Let's go to caller Sarah. And, Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I live out in Helotes, and we use saws. And my neighbor for the last 3 years has St. Augustine grass. We have over an acre, each of us, and her lawn is absolutely green. We've turned her in over 20 times last year, the neighbors and I have, and she brags about her water bill and's like, I'll pay whatever fines, I want my green grass. How are you going to deal with people that are that ignorant?
Sarah, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. That's a good story. So Karen, how do you deal with that?
Well, so right now, if somebody's in the city of Helotes, This is where I'm talking about it not being fair today. Somebody living in the city of Helotes can't get a city of San Antonio citation. We have no way to make that person stop. Once we adopt these new rules, and it's a fee on the SAWS bill, and it's a SAWS rule of use, now that person's going to get told, hey, you're subject to the same violations as everybody else. Doesn't matter what city you live in, you're a SAWS customer. This is your starting violation charge, and it's going to go up from there. I find people generally have a price point, and they don't want to keep paying every day they violate that third cost of up to $500.
Let's go to Misty on the phones. And Misty, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to kind of dovetail on Sarah, but reverse of that, what is SAWS doing to educate other SAWS users on native grasses so that, and also on ways to grow them? Because I have a green lawn, but I do not use a lot of water, and all the rest of my neighbors are brown. And so, like, growing it longer, using more native grasses, what's SAWS doing about that?
All right, Misty, thank you for that. So how is SAWS doing that? Hi, Karen.
So good news is that since 2006 in San Antonio and the extraterritorial jurisdiction, drought-tolerant grasses have been required for all new construction. That means, frankly, not St. Augustine. It means Zoysia or Bermuda. But if you're interested in more native species that grow in the hill country and don't have that manicured look, we are looking at a native grass program as a pilot this year to talk to folks who maybe your backyard is not used very much and you'd prefer to have something that looks like a prairie and has wildflowers in it. So I'm glad to hear Misty, it may not be what she meant, but we are looking at that. And yes, if you go to gardenstylesanantonio.com, you will find a lot of advice on watering those Bermuda and Zoysia grasses.
When it gets hot, we see a lot of main water breaks and water coming out. You know, how are y'all dealing with that at SAWS?
SAWS has really ramped up in the last 2 years, recognizing that the shifting soils during this drought have just been so hard on the infrastructure underground. We've never seen so many breaks in our pipes. We hired 50 more people. We put out 12 new crews, changed the way they work and operate. And we're fixing pipes at a faster rate than SAWS has ever done before. Also have contractors that are not SAWS employees helping. So it has been rough. There's a lot that SAWS is doing to try to get at those pipes that are breaking as fast as we possibly can, but safely.
So we've got a long, hot summer ahead of us. Where do you think we'll get to stage four? What does it look like for you, Karen Guz?
Well, unfortunately, we're looking at stage four, EAA stage four, very soon. We're very close to it now. So probably before the end of this month or right at the beginning of June, we'll hit Edwards Aquifer Authority stage four. If nothing changes in the weather, we could for the first time be in Edwards Aquifer Authority stage five levels by July. And so we're hoping for rain, but we are planning for, in case this keeps going, to make sure we're managing as best we can.
And if everyone follows the rules, then we should be okay, right?
Yes, absolutely. And if you're one of them who's already doing it, thank you very much. We appreciate you. We just need to get another 10% more on board. And so we're optimistic these rule changes will help us accomplish that.
Karen Guz is the Vice President of Conservation at the San Antonio Water System. Karen, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us today. And let me know whenever you want to come back on the air and talk about water. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, David.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. The EarthX 2024 Environmental and Sustainability Congress of Conferences is happening in Dallas, April 22nd through the 26th, bringing together all sides with one important mission: protect our planet. For info, earthx.org.